And he said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You could entitle this homily, "Receive the Holy Spirit," and then I put a little subtitle, "Now go on, get out of here." Right? Receive this gift and go. And I wish I could have given a little introduction to the sequence, the hymn you so beautifully sung. It's such an ancient hymn in the church, celebrating the Holy Spirit, sung throughout the centuries, especially by monks and nuns and religious as they start their morning prayer and do their meditation. It's beautiful words. Hopefully you can see the translation. If not, go on YouTube and do the Veni Creator. You'll hear of similar versions with the English translation. Beautiful. Great catechesis in itself on the Holy Spirit. But back to receiving the Holy Spirit and then get out of here, right? Today the Easter season concludes, right? Easter is ending and punctuated by the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's almost a mirror of what Jesus did in his resurrection, new life, conquering sin, and coming out of the tomb. Same thing now for us. We've had 50 days to meditate, reflect on what it means, what happened to Jesus. The apostles assimilated it, understood, had a few visits of Jesus, figured it out, and then Jesus shows up and say, "Okay, guys, you got your peace back? Go." It's not good to stay indoors, even if you are afraid of the Jews, right? This is the Holy Spirit that is a gift we receive to obtain peace and receive the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the resurrection, that sin and death and fear no longer worry us because we have a power and a love and a confidence and a trust in God that we can hit those things head on and overcome them in Christ. And so let's get out and get busy and bring that message to the world. But let's back up to the first reading about wind and fire. The Holy Spirit poured out upon the 12, where the Acts of the Apostles recount what happened in that upper room. First, it was a sign no one could ignore, right? It wasn't something they fabricated. It happened to them. They're just there meeting, and all of a sudden, some power from outside shows up and starts to shake. And they all receive the gift of tongues speaking in languages that foreigners can understand. It was something that they couldn't ignore it, and the people couldn't ignore it. They saw those symbols, those tongues of fire. That's the figure that the author could best, something that kind of looked like the side was on top. And there were tongues because they were speaking in this fire, a message, and also in a way that the people could understand. It was a sign that everyone was seeking. There was division and separation, and people from all over the world and different cultures and different languages couldn't understand this new message until the Spirit gave them the power to communicate this message to them. Everyone shocked, right? They mentioned it with this witness that they had of the gospel. The fire of the Holy Spirit spread like wildfire, like those tongues of fire, uncontainable. I love to think about each apostle. Imagine yourself if you were in some upper room there and all of a sudden one of these, this happened to you, and you start speaking in a language that you don't know and people are understanding you. Each one of them was speaking in a different language, right? And all these people were understanding them. One could say they were all speaking one language and the others were given the gift to understand. I don't know, but let's just go with the option. Each one's speaking one of those languages. How important it was for each of them to speak the language that they were given to speak. Thanks to, say, I don't know, Peter, the Mesopotamians started to hear and understand. And thanks to James the Greater, he started speaking the gift he was given. And another group, the Medes, started to understand. Each of us have a gift we've received that we need to speak. for the souls that God wants to hear that message, to hear it. In the second reading of St. Paul, what a beautiful list. The first list, you know, of all the sins and debauchery and all those things going on is sometimes you're like, I don't know, do we want to make everybody sit and listen to that list and imagine these things? Yes, because it's the world they were sent to evangelize and to change. It was the lifestyle of the people they were called to minister to. Hey, that's the old way of living. People live that way, unfortunately. And none of us need to go too far to find examples of each one of those sins, whether it's in our own families, whether it's in the community, whether it's in school, things we hear about. A world without Christ and the power of the resurrection and the power of that Spirit, that's what grows. That's what's out there. And yet, the gifts of the Spirit start in the heart, start in the individual, this love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. It's endurance, its ability to persevere through challenges. All these gifts that are given by the Spirit to the Christian who believes the power of the resurrection and can go out into this world, can transform. Hey, you who are living this way, that list of, there's a new way to live. There's an invitation. You don't have to follow the flesh. That's the message that these Medes and Parthians and everyone was hearing. What a message that our world needs to hear today, right? Each gift is given, that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and everything that we receive from the Spirit is then a gift that we give to transform the world around us. And then the gospel. Beautiful. I love that focus of Jesus. First, peace. Give peace to the apostles, the ones who are afraid, who are locked inside, who are like, oh no, we've lost Jesus. Now what? Right? They've killed him. The thing I hoped in, the thing that gave me strength and confidence and trust, that person that I could grab onto that would protect me, that would lead me, has fallen. Now what? Jesus comes back in and says, hey, peace, not dead. That which you feared hasn't happened. I'm here. But there's a second. Now, once he's given him peace, then he shows him his hands. Hey, this is what, you know, this peace cost. Then he says, and they all rejoice. Oh, great. We see the Lord. Yeah, party. And Jesus said, okay, great. I'm sure he enjoyed with them for a little bit. But then Jesus says again, hey, don't interrupt me with all the joy. There's a second part to the message. Peace be with you. First part. As the Father has sent me these wounds through the cross and the victory that you're now seeing, I'm sending you. I'm sending you. Do what I did. I'm sending you. That's the go on. Get out of here. Time to go. Remember in the summer times, I referenced that at the beginning, there was always classes are over. We don't have to get up at the ungodly hours to get dressed, and at least in my walk down the street and stand on the corner for the school bus to pick you up and drop off the kids at the high school and then get to the grade school. We could sleep in and just lay in bed. And then my mom let that happen a couple days. And then eventually it was like, okay, time to get. Was like, wait a second, why do we have to get up? There's no reason to get up. There's no commitments. We got the whole day in front of us. She knew that wasn't healthy. We needed to learn that, hey, you got to get up and start doing stuff. All of a sudden, more chores. All of a sudden, I had to do this. And then eventually, after a little bit, at least in those days, you could just send your kids into the neighborhood. Go on. Get out of here. Go do something. Go find your friends. And what are we going to do? I don't know. Figure it out. Like, go out. It's not good. It's not healthy. It's not right for all this childish energy to be just in your room. Yeah, you don't have school. You've got something else to learn. Get out there, socialize, meet friends, build stuff, destroy stuff, scratch your knees, learn, experience life. And I think that's what the Holy Spirit is telling us. Get out, go. You've got all the life. There's more needs to be done. Go, transform, do what I've done, love, do miracles, preach in my name, etc. How do we land this plane? The gifts are given to us, just like the languages or the gifts that Paul speaks about, are given to us for our own benefit, but also for the world that needs them. So I would give you a little homework. Usually I give it at the end, but I need a little more time to explain this one. Take stock of the gifts the Holy Spirit has given you in your life. The human gifts, personality traits, education, family, just what you're good at, what you thrive in, and all of us have them, those gifts that God has given to you. What are they? And then how can these gifts serve others? Not just can, but should. There was an apostolate started by a woman in the Catholic world, at least, Sherry Weddle, I think is how she pronounced her last name. She wrote a book back in the 90s, The Catholic Spiritual Gifts Inventory, Discerning and Developing and Using Your Spiritual Gifts. It had started a bit in the Protestant world. She was already working with some Protestant communities and pastors of helping these programs to help people discover their gifts and then contribute them. She wrote a Catholic version of that, and she proposes an inventory. I found it online, so all of you can find it online. A Catholic Spiritual Gifts Inventory by Sherry Weddle. And it's just a list of questions, you know, typical, hey, do you thrive? Do you like doing this, et cetera? Are you been told you're good at this, et cetera? About 60-some questions, or actually a little more, trying to sell it low so you actually go look at it. There's probably 120 of them, to be honest with you. And it helps you take stock of what are the gifts that I have. And then there's a little bit of a little way to grade and to value and say, you know what, I really have, and all the gifts she's proposing are all scriptural gifts, gifts that Paul references in the community, the early church, hospitality, gifts of service, of administration, etc. And I would invite you to look at those gifts and say, hey, how then can I give them back to the world? Not just professionally, hopefully you're doing that. It might even help you professionally. Maybe that's why you're so frustrated in your job. You know, I don't get to use my gifts. Just, you know, use your gifts, hopefully professionally, but also for your families, for the world, so that you're thriving in these gifts the Holy Spirit has given you. And you're listening to Jesus says, go out, right? Go out. A subpoint to that. So look up spiritual gifts inventory, find the little thing and take the little test. That's your homework. Find out what your gifts are. Secondly, Jesus highlights what the main gift he gave the church was after he gave them peace and said, okay, go on, go out. What did he say? Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained. The way Jesus understood, the primary explanation he gave, okay, go out, take this Holy Spirit. What was the main job? Give forgiveness, show mercy, heal. And some of us might say, no, that's too little. Like, we got to demand of people, remind them. Tell them to get back to church on Sundays. Tell them they're not doing this and they're not doing that. The invitation, show mercy, because that's what Jesus did on the cross when he shows them, hey, this is God's mercy. Because from that experience of love will come then the desire to correspond to the beloved. So go out and forgive. That brings peace and unity in that splintered world that they spoke all those languages to, all those people caught in all those different sins where they're enslaved to their flesh in so many ways, set free through the power of the Holy Spirit, starts with God's mercy and forgiveness. Be agents of that mercy, using your gifts to do that. So brothers and sisters, let's continue with this Mass, asking for the power of the Holy Spirit, asking for light to be able to understand our gifts, asking for courage to be able to use them, to find ways to use them, and above all, the courage to be merciful to the world, to those that need to have mercy, so that from that unity that comes through forgiveness, that ability to use our gifts and build the church would be born. Amen.